Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thanks again for tuning in this morning. I pray the message is a blessing to you. I pray the word of God will become real in your life. I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And before we read, let me mention to you that Paul the Apostle is on his way back to Jerusalem, but he's speaking to some church elders who are from Ephesus, and he's giving them some final instructions, knowing that he's never going to see them again. So notice with me in Acts 20, verse 22, Paul says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I want to talk to you today about finishing our course. Paul said he had to finish his course with joy, and it was the ministry that he had received of the Lord Jesus. What was that ministry? It was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, we all have a ministry, and therefore we have a course to finish. As though running in a race, as Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." And I could say that ye may obtain the prize. We're running a race. It's a race course. We run according to this course. It's the ministry we've been given. And notice that he says in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So we press toward an incorruptible crown. It's a crown of righteousness. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul writes 2 Timothy, he's in prison knowing that the day of his execution has been set. And he writes and says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Then if there is a crown of righteousness laid up for all them that love Christ's appearing, we all have a course to run. Paul ran his course, and he finished his course. He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. What is that course? Well, Paul said back in Acts 20 that he must finish his course, and it was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was his ministry. So let me ask you a question. Do you even know what the gospel of the grace of God is? There seems to be a prevailing thought among Christians today that there's only one gospel. But there's several gospels in your Bible, and while they are all good news, they're not all good news directed to you. Paul said he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Notice that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Did you realize that Paul is your apostle? I'm stunned by the number of people that claim to be Christians who do not know that the 12 apostles were not sent to Gentiles. Christ told them in Matthew chapter 10 not to go to Gentiles, and that never changed, with the one exception that Peter was told to go to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. That was a specific instance that opened a door which Paul would later follow through. It had something to do with Israel, not for you. That Gentile man Peter went to in Acts chapter 10, his name was Cornelius, was a just man, a devout man, and he feared God, and he worked righteousness. Paul, on the other hand, was sent to the Gentile heathen. Notice that in Galatians chapter 2. He says in verse 7, "But contrariwise, when they," and that would be those of reputation in Jerusalem, it would include Peter, James, and John, "when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision," that's a Gentile, "was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision," the Jew, "was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." As late as Galatians chapter 2, the events of which were recorded in Acts chapter 15, some 17 years after Jesus Christ died, the disciples were agreeing that Paul should go to Gentiles and they to the circumcision. This is long after Peter was sent to Cornelius, the Gentile of Acts chapter 10. My point is this: over 15 times in your Bible, some reference is made to Paul being the apostle of the Gentiles, being sent to Gentiles, and preaching unto Gentiles. And he makes that claim himself in a number of those occasions. Why is it that so many people do not understand who their apostle is today? The reason is we do not search the scriptures. Do you understand that your Bible has to be spiritually discerned? Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Then by this passage, Paul tells us that the wisdom of God that we preach and teach, those things that God has revealed to us, he has revealed by his Spirit. And they are revealed by his Spirit as they are taught to us by the Holy Ghost. How does the Holy Ghost teach us? It doesn't just appear in a room and start writing on a chalkboard. It doesn't just reveal secrets to you in your quiet time. You are not suddenly born again and you now have all the knowledge of God. If you think that, you're fooling yourself. Otherwise, Paul would never have written to you to study the scriptures. You are taught by the Holy Ghost when you compare spiritual things with spiritual. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Where do you find the words of Jesus Christ? You find them in a 1611 King James Bible. And you find the words that God wrote specifically to you in the letters of Romans through Philemon. 13 epistles from the 13th apostle who was sent to preach to Gentiles in Acts chapter 13. You find spiritual things in a Bible and you compare scripture with scripture. Spiritual things with spiritual things. Folks are so caught up today in wanting to live a purpose-driven life. May I suggest to you that you consider trying to lead a scripture-driven life, a life that seeks to walk in one accord with the Word of God, rightly divided. Look with me again in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what Paul wrote in verse 15. He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Then in order to be a workman that will not be ashamed, we must study to rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, we will be ashamed, and we will not be approved unto God. The indication is, if the truth is to be rightly divided, then it can be wrongly divided. And I suggest that is what you'll find mostly today in the so-called Christian world. People are taking the scriptures, twisting it to their own desires. And Paul said that would happen. He said that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 1 he writes, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." He didn't say, "Write books about how to live a purpose-driven life." He didn't say, "Preach how to be prosperous and healthy and wealthy." He said to Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Let me ask, how much doctrine do you know? How much doctrine from Romans through Philemon are you aware of in order that you could tell somebody the truth of the mystery? Remember, Paul said that his ministry, in order to finish his course, was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And I'm willing to bet that you don't know what the gospel of the grace of God is if you don't know that Paul is your apostle. He's the apostle of the Gentiles. God is not dealing with Israel or the Jew separately as a nation today. He certainly did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the Old Testament. He certainly will again when he returns to fulfill the promises that concern Israel. But right now, you live in a time that is called the dispensation of the grace of God in your Bible, if you have a Bible, and I mean a King James 1611. And in the dispensation of the grace of God, God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not making a distinction between Jew or Gentile. But the gospel by which you are saved, the gospel of the grace of God, is the gospel that God gave to Paul to preach to Gentiles, which only makes sense because that gospel is that the Gentiles can be saved. But before we read that, let's continue on in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look what he said in verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's the condition we find the Christian world in today. They've turned their ears from the truth because they cannot and they will not endure sound doctrine. They want positive, self-help, motivational preachers. And don't get me wrong, some of these preachers are incredible speakers. They fill up auditoriums of 30,000 people. They pastor churches with 30,000 members. And yet, when I hear these men preach, I never hear the gospel of Christ. I never hear the gospel of the grace of God. I never hear the revelation of the mystery given unto Paul. In fact, they don't even know or understand that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. How then can they finish the course that Paul said he finished, that we've been given to finish? He said, be followers of me. Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Then we are to follow Jesus Christ through our apostle, Paul. And if we're to preach the word and we're to preach sound doctrine, we've got to know what that doctrine is. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He said in chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. He wrote in verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Over and over again, Paul says, the things I taught, the things you heard of me, my gospel, my gospel. Paul did not have an ego problem. He has to make the distinction between the gospel of the grace of God that was given unto him and the gospel of the kingdom that was given to the 12 concerning Israel that had nothing to do with you. The 12 disciples wouldn't have given you the time of day if you'd gone up to them and begged them for help. Notice the case of the Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7. Jesus Christ wouldn't even talk to her and told her, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew 15. That is not the case today, because you have an apostle who was sent directly to you, the Gentiles, and unto him was given the revelation of the mystery and the dispensation of the grace of God. And you don't know what that is because, believer, you've been sitting in a church system somewhere for years, perhaps, getting entertained, hearing great music, getting emotionally excited and pumped up, watching them build huge ornate buildings with their own zip codes and with their own credit unions and with gymnasiums and with coffee shops and all of that. And you think that that gain is godliness. But you don't have enough doctrine in your mind and in your heart to show somebody else the gospel of Christ and to read and study and understand the Word of God rightly divided, and it's your own fault because you want the entertainment, you want to have your ears tickled, you do not want to abide the truth. Men today can't stand the sight of truth. They'd rather be told fables, but you need to know the gospel of Christ. And you need to know the gospel of the grace of God.
No one wants truth no more. No one wants to open the door. They all turn down the light, 'cause they can't stand the sight of truth. They all try to hide what's real. They all want to fix the deal. They'd rather tell a lie, 'cause they can't stand the sight of truth. If it's pure, if it's straight, if it's right, then it's a shame. They'll shoot it down like John Wilkes Booth, 'cause they can't stand the sight of truth. Change it to read more clear, but the Almighty curse is near. Alex Booth, cause they can't stand the sight of truth.
So Paul said he's the apostle of the Gentiles. We talked about that mystery a moment ago. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. Notice in verse 1, Paul writes, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." You know what he's saying there? He is in prison because he preached to Gentiles. Do you understand that it was against the law to do that? Do you understand that that was something unheard of to the Jew? And according to the law, it was unlawful. When Paul said in Acts 22, "Christ sent me far hence to the Gentiles," they arrested him, and he was thrown in prison. People think when he says, "I'm the prisoner of Christ," he means I've just been captured by Jesus and his love. No, he's in prison. The word of God means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. Why don't you read it and study it for a change and believe it? He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward," that is, given to Paul to give to the Gentiles. A dispensation, big fancy word, just means he's dispensing something out. And it's occurring in a set time. What is he dispensing? He's dispensing grace. How did that grace come to him? Notice verse 3. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And what is that mystery that in other ages was not made known? Verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." If Jesus Christ had been saving Gentiles all along since he began his ministry, why the mystery? Why would God make such a point that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles? I told you over 15 times in your Bible. And most Christians aren't aware of one instance where Paul said, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles." The mystery is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And he means in the same body as those who first trusted in Christ that Paul preached to. First he went to the Jew and to the Greek. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And later on, it was given to Paul to go even to the heathen, the Gentiles that didn't know God. See, Paul found Greeks in the synagogue, worshiping with the Jew. But there were plenty of Gentiles out there that weren't Greeks. 99% of them weren't Greeks. They were out there worshiping anything that moved, idols that are made with hands, and Christ sent him to them and said that they could be fellow heirs. That's the mystery. That's the mystery that you've probably never heard anything about if you've spent most of your life in a religious system that's designed to entertain you and make you feel good. You've been seeking the purpose-driven life, and you don't even know what the purpose of God is. The purpose of God is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why don't you start leading a scripture-driven life and study the Word of God rightly divided so that you can say, like Paul, that you understand what your course is, that you've finished it when it's your time to go, and that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. How can you finish your course if you don't know what it is? Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 7, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, and here it is, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Have you seen what is the fellowship of the mystery? If you don't know what it is, how is it that you've sat in a church all these years and you still don't understand? You don't understand because you haven't been studying your apostle, who wrote 13 books to you. Why don't you right now make a commitment today to start reading and believing your Bible, understanding it according to what Paul wrote? Remember, he said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." You want to begin to understand your Bible? Start with Paul. He's your apostle. Find out what your course is and finish it. Testify the gospel of the grace of God. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. You can be saved by believing on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I thank you for listening today.
You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services at the Silver Center, 510 Court Street, here in Seguin. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.